Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. Christmas has become a big holiday around the world. It comes with a lot of traditions like decorating a tree, giving gifts, eating and drinking, and general merriment. For many, it is a sentimental time because of these traditions. But what about the true meaning of Christmas? Was Jesus born on December 25th? If Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, what about the other Jesus sightings in the Old Testament? Why do all the traditions of Christmas coincide with the pagan worship of Tammuz? Why didn't the early church celebrate the birth of Jesus? These are important questions, and Christians often lament over the commercialization of Christmas and how Jesus should be the reason for the season. While it's true that the second Adam was born of a virgin and died for our sins on the cross so we can have eternal life, what is the importance of his birth in relation to his death and resurrection? This message is entitled, Did Jesus Have a Birthday? Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
And welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I had a long sermon prepared for today, about 6 pages. And the Lord, as I was praying this morning, I'm going to save that for next week. And I'm going to give you a very short sermon, handwritten. No one has any outline. And I want to begin in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. This is December 24th, Christmas Eve. And I've been cringing inside when I hear people talk about Christmas, you know, and the birth of Jesus and so on. And we really are making a mess. And so what happened is, if we put out disinformation, people are going to say, well, if they lie about this, they lied about that. So I want to talk about this. Did Jesus have a birthday? I guess that's what we'll call this message. Did Jesus have a birthday? And the answer is no. He does not have a birthday. He has always existed. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we read the first 4 verses here. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who is the Word? Well, in verse number 14, we have it explained to us. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. Amen. If we go back now, read the same verses. Have you put in the name of Jesus instead of the Word? It reads like this. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Jesus. And without Jesus was not anything made that was made. Now, Jesus is the Creator. That moves him way past the Bethlehem, where his body was born. So do we have another scripture on that? Because people say, but that's one scripture. Do we have more? Well, let me take you to Colossians chapter 1. That is Colossians. And we're going to read from the first chapter. These are beautiful verses here. Verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's the prayer that Paul had. Why? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Let me read the last verse now. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us, moved us, into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom the Son we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, Jesus. For by Jesus were all things created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, if he's a creator, it is obvious that he was not born in Bethlehem. Now, this might shake you a little bit here now, but we're going to try to get this straight to that. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So now we have established two places that Jesus is the creator. Let me give you a third. So turn out to Hebrews chapter 1. That's Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in his last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, the Creator, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purchased sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus Christ, Jesus means Savior. Christ means Messiah or the Anointed One. So we really do not know the name of Jesus. We know the titles, but we don't know his name. And this is the bonus scripture that I didn't write down. So if you turn to Revelation, and chapter 19, and we read here for verse number 13. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has in his vesture, in his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, prior to this, we find out this here, in verse number 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. The Father, our Heavenly Father, we don't know his name. We know his daddy, Father. Jesus is the Creator, but we don't know his name. So, let me take you back now to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Who's God talking to here? And God said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is one, but he's triune. And he has the capacity to divide himself into three parts. We have God the Father, the Spirit. We have God the Son. He has a spiritual body. We have the Holy Spirit. That's a soul. You and I have a physical body. We have a spirit that's born again if you're saved. And we have a soul. We are triune. We cannot divide ourselves. So God has always existed. Jesus has always existed. He does not have a birthday. Now, he has an incarnation day. He has an incarnation day. And that is when he inhabited the body that Mary gave him. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that she was a virgin. The Holy Spirit came over her, took one of her eggs, impregnated it, because the Father is the one that creates the blood. The mother gives bones and flesh. That's in the egg. The blood from the Father. Joseph never impregnated Mary. It was the Holy Ghost. So what happened here is that God simply created a physical body inside Mary's womb with sinless blood. It has no sin nature. Once this physical body had been created, Jesus comes in and possesses that body, incarnation, and he now has a human body that can feel the pain, that can be tempted. It's a human body just like you and I have, except sinless blood. And with his sinless blood, he was able not to sin. Notice now, that little body that Mary gave did not have a soul. That body simply was an empty body that Jesus possessed. Jesus does not have a soul. Jesus is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The first time the Bible records that Jesus came to this earth was in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God, that's Jesus, formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Jesus Christ came down himself to this earth after it had been refurbished, after Satan had done his work. And he got a new creation. And we do not know if Jesus set up a laboratory, if he set up a whatever he had. We don't know. We don't know how he does things. I'm sure there were angels there. And he simply scooped up dirt, because we are made of minerals, metals from the earth. And there he built a adult body. He simply sculptured it, adult body. The bones, the ligaments, the blood, everything, the flesh, the hair, the eyeballs. He made that. That was handmade by Jesus. And then when he had that finished, it was lifeless. He breathed into it. He put in a soul and a spirit. And Adam was alive. Now, what was Adam? Adam was not the physical body. Adam was a soul and a spirit. But Adam had a physical body to move on earth. When Adam's body died, Adam didn't die. He continues. So then we have in the same chapter, verse number 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle, the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam was not found any helpmate for him. I don't know if you notice this. I don't go to these websites, but I see the advertisement. And I hear people talk about them. I see articles. But the latest technology now is making female bodies, artificial female bodies. Very sophisticated. They're using very sophisticated material. It feels like skin. They have heat sensors in it. They have heat in it. And they make these dolls look like a woman, have all the features of a woman. But it's vibrators, it's heat sensors and everything else, and they are making this thing to be able to respond. They built in a computer system, so if you touch it in a certain way, that doll will respond. And they're not talking about that they're going to put the prostitutes out of business. And they're going to have, matter of fact, they already had built the first whorehouses, where they have these artificial dolls that, you know, never get tired. They just have to clean them up for the next customer. And so you can see the depravity of man. But what man is trying to do, he's trying to create a body so that he can have interchange with that body. In verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. What do you do when you have surgery in the hospital? Anesthesia. You put them out in a deep sleep. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. He simply cloned her. He took the same cells for the same person, same body, and now made a woman. And she was a grown adult woman. Adam and Eve did not have a childhood. They were adults. But they had bodies. But the bodies were not them. They lived in their bodies. But they were souls and spirit. When they sinned, their spirits died. And Adam died 900 years later. So here's what God did. He simply had selected Mary. And if you read the story, it says that she was walking with the Lord. She was probably about 16, 17 years old. Was betrothed, engaged, but never had sex, had lived with her parents. And she became pregnant. God needed a woman's body to give him an egg. If God would have created the egg too, then it would not really have been a human body with a sinful nature. So he had to use something from Adam and Eve, adding the blood himself. And once this was created in her body, as I said before, we do not know when Jesus entered into that body. We do notice that when Mary went to see Elizabeth, her cousin, that her baby leaped in the womb because of the Holy Spirit. So we do not know that. But the main thing is this. Jesus was incarnated. If you're going to celebrate anything, we should celebrate his incarnation. For without incarnation, there's no payment for sin. The sad thing is that, you know, people say, oh, this is the birthday of Jesus. You know, happy birthday, Jesus. And so on. That's a lie. Jesus does not have a birthday. And we bring Jesus down from being God to something less. He's eternal. He always has existed. And he always will exist. Now, why the 24th? Was that the day that Mary gave birth to the body of Jesus? Was it the day? And the answer is no. In the Bible, there's no record. In the Bible, we're told the season. We had shepherds and so on. Knowing the custom, Jesus was born September, October. That's when his body was born. Not the 24th. The shepherds were there the night Mary gave birth to the body. The wise men came about 2 years later. They did not come the same night. Jesus was about 2 years old when the wise men came. You can see the lying that is building up, the myth that we have when we have our Christmas stories. And so what it does is, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we are fibbing, just like we are fibbing as a church, when we have Jesus crucified on a Friday, we have him up on Sunday morning, and Jesus said he's going to be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Well, we get him up, you know, in a day and a half. No one ever questioned that. The Bible states very clearly, he was crucified on a Wednesday, not on a Friday. But you know, the Roman Catholic Church has a lot of power. And we got Good Friday, and we got Christmas Day, and it all goes back to Tammuz. In the Roman Empire, by 325 A.D., the Roman Empire, actually, there was a race. They had an election. Constantine was running to be the emperor, just like we run for presidents here. His political handler said, Constantine, there's a vast amount of Christians out there, millions upon millions. You can get their vote. You can get their support. That will put you over the top. So he said, fine. Up to this time, Christians had been persecuted. So he called in about 1,000 pastors that come in from North Africa. They come in from Babylon. They come in from Lebanon, Turkey, Greece, and came into Rome and had a meeting. And he told them this, you support me as the future emperor, and I will make you a state church. No more persecution. We will outlaw everything else, and we will simply make Christianity the religion. About 600 pastors said yes. Some of them, about 400 of them, simply left and said, we have nothing to do with that. That's not Bible. But Constantine got enough support. He became the emperor. And now he became the first head of state called the Pope. Papa. He was the first pope. He was a politician. And so they simply said this. The pastor says, well, we got to at least baptize him. He's not even baptized. He was not even saved. So they baptized him. Now he's the head of the church. Now they had a problem in Rome because they had a lot of heathen holidays. And the hierarchy in the church says, now what do we do with these Roman holidays? And he came up with a clever idea, of course, from Satan. Put Christ in there. That would take care of it. They were celebrating Saturnalia. They were celebrating Tammuz. They put Tammuz out. Put Christ in. No big deal. Tammuz was always celebrated on the 24th of December. No problem. Jesus was born December 25th, not 24th. I screwed up on one day. So that's why Tammuz's birthday was the 25th. Now, they also had Tammuz at Easter. They had Easter practices. So they simply said, well, the Romans, you know, they have their rabbits, they have their, you know, do this and that, and they have all the different things. They can keep all the rituals, but just change the names. Do you think that God the Father is pleased with us? When we are messing it up, instead of telling people Jesus was incarnated, he doesn't have a birthday, he always existed, he always will exist. We should present him as God. Not as a baby in a manger. So I just want to share that with you. This Roman pagan holiday of Christmas in 2017. Now over the years, matter of fact, if you go back 100 years, they didn't celebrate Christmas in America. Matter of fact, when the pilgrims came, they put people in prison. In jail if they celebrated Christmas. because they didn't like it. They didn't believe in it. But right now, we have, it's not an Americana. It's an American holiday. It's a British holiday. It's a Scandinavian holiday where every pagan ritual has been added on top of it. And, of course, we got to buy the gifts. We got to have that stuff to drink. We got to have this there, you know. It got to be just so. We got to decorate it, you know. We got to have that tree. Now, when you have the tree, ask yourself, why in the world do we bring in a tree for the 25th of December? I mean, you know, why would we do that? What's the benefit? You bring in a lot of bucks and stuff. But what's the benefit? There's no really benefit. But you see, Satan had a religion. It was called Semiramis Tammuz and Nimrod. And Nimrod was killed. And then Semiramis said, oh, he's not a moon god. And he said, one night the moon god came down. Nimrod came down, and we had sex, and I got pregnant. Supernaturally. And when Tammuz was born, there was a piece of wood in the room, and it instantly sprouted an evergreen. And that's where your tree comes from. The birthday of Tammuz, that fantastic time when a dead tree limb sprouted. So here we are, Christians, putting in a tree that we cut is now dead. And Satan said, you know, isn't that wonderful, wonderful? All the stupid people put their trees in. And they are helping me to celebrate Tammuz. But you know what? If a pastor stands up and talks what I did here today, he'd be fired the next day. He will lose his retirement. He will lose his benefits. And they would simply say, we can't have you here because you're destroying our tradition. Sad thing. So anyway, I'm happy. I didn't spend any money for this Christmas. And I don't have any credit cards coming in January. But here's the true story of Christmas. So if you're going to be with your family tomorrow, be sure to tell them. First of all, this is incarnation we are celebrating. Not the birth, because Jesus doesn't have a birthday. Secondly, this is not the right day. But that's okay. Because this is what we've done with the present. We used to have George Washington's birthday and we used to have another birthday, you know, and we lumped them together in our president's days. So we can do that. But just remember this. This is the day of the incarnation. Because of the incarnation, we can be saved. When I'm down here, Charles Turrell is going to come. And he will tell you about salvation. And I hope that you will stick around. We'll be close here. I don't know if I ruined everything that you had planned for today and tomorrow. But you know, a little truth does not hurt. And by the way, let me ask you this. Where do you think the Christmas ham comes from? I mean, did they have a Christmas ham there in a stable where the body of Jesus was born? No, they had goats and they had some sheep. Where'd the ham come from? Well, you see, the ham is from the Vikings. And the Vikings believed this, that they believed in Thor and Odin and Freya and all the other Norse gods. And on the 25th, Tammuz in the Middle East, we had the Norse gods. In the north, on the 25th, they had to do the blood sacrifice. And they had the biggest bull. I've been feeding that all year long. Half a size of a horse. And they would lead that into the temple in Uppsala, in Sweden. And that boar would walk in there. He didn't know what was going to happen. And all the Vikings were there, and all the priests they had, they would sing their songs and stuff like this. And then they would stab that boar, take the blood in vats, and they would drink the blood, and they would take the guts out of him, and then they would roast him, and then they would have a big feast outside. And they also had to sacrifice human beings. So every time when they had the boar sacrificed, they would hang about 100 people in the trees. And they hung them in such a way that they didn't die right away. They just slowly hung them up, you know, so they're choking slowly. And so that was a decoration, folks. Dead people in the trees. Big party here on the good ground. A big boar roasted. And that is where you get your Christmas ham from. So if you're going to eat that this year, have good appetite. Remember where it came from. You're celebrating the gods of the Vikings. And then a number of other things. But I'm not going to repeat myself. So anyway, I'm happy in one way that, you know, President Trump says Merry Christmas. Well, at least, you know, it is not holiday. So it doesn't fit. But there's no Christmas. What we should say is, Blessed Incarnation. And now we are correct. Well, here we go. That was your message for Christmas 2017. Here's Brother Thomas to finish it.
That was heavy. I'm having a turkey sandwich tomorrow by myself. Okay. Father God, thank you for the word today, Lord, and the testimonies, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that we have forgiveness of sin, and it is a gift from you. We have the righteous, sinless blood of Jesus that was shed for each one of us, for all of mankind. And we thank you for our many blessings, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can look back on this year, 2017, and say it was a blessed year. And we thank you also, Lord. We do have President Trump. He's not a saint, but thank God we don't have Queen Jezebel and her wicked husband Ahab. And you know those are pseudonyms. We thank you, Father God, that you have blessed us mightily this year. It is a joy and it is a blessing to live in the United States of America. And we thank you that this wicked nation can be turned around. It needs a total turnaround. And we lift up the corrupt courts in the United States of America. There's a lot of corruption in the courts. And in the state houses, and in the county houses, and in the city councils, in the police departments, in the juvenile halls, and on and on and on. We thank you, Father, for a cleaning of the house. In Jesus' name we pray. We lift up all political prisoners to you. Those that are in prison, that are not there rightfully. And we ask for their release back to their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled, Did Jesus Have a Birthday? When was Jesus born? This is actually a trick question because Jesus has always existed. The birth in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago was a plan that predated mankind and even the angels when the Godhead decided that God the Son would pay for the sins of humanity. While Jesus is eternal and can't die, he still needed a body which he could inhabit and live on earth for a season until it was sacrificed on the cross. Mary was a virgin who was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus indwelt the body in her womb. The second Adam was a unique human being as the flesh and bones came from Mary, while the sinless blood came from the Holy Spirit. This is the supposed story of Christmas with its decorations, gift-giving, eating and drinking, and merriment. So why do all the traditions of Christmas coincide with the pagan worship of Tammuz? Why didn't the early church celebrate the birth of Jesus? The answer is simple. Jesus was never part of Christmas. It is a tradition dating back to the time of Nimrod, and this pagan Tammuz worship was sanctified by the newly formed Roman Catholic Church. The apostles focused on the death and resurrection of Jesus, and shouldn't we do the same? Don't believe the old lie of putting Christ back into Christmas. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1631. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.